A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. At Miletus, Paul spoke to the presbyters of the church of Ephesus. Keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers, in which you tend the church of God that he acquired with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, and they will not spare the flock. And from your own group, men will come forward, perverting the truth, to draw the disciples away after them. So be vigilant, and remember that for 3 years, night and day, I unceasingly admonished each of you with tears. And now I commend you to God, and to the gracious word of his that can build you up and give you the inheritance among all who are consecrated. I have never wanted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You know well that these very hands have served my needs and my companions. And every way I have shown you that by hard work of that sort, we must help the weak. And keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them all. They were all weeping loudly as they threw their arms around Paul and kissed him, for they were deeply distressed that he had said that they would never see his face again. Then they escorted him to the ship. The word of the Lord. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth.
Show forth, O God, your power, the power, O God, with which you took our part. For your temple in Jerusalem, let the kings bring you gifts.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth.
You kingdoms of the earth, sing to God. Chant praise to the Lord, who rides on the heights of the ancient heavens. Behold, his voice resounds, the voice of power. Confess the power of God.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth.
Over Israel is his majesty. His power is in the skies. Awesome in his sanctuary is God, the God of Israel. He gives power and strength to his people.
Sing to God.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, "Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world, so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. And so, my dear friends in Christ, during this wonderful time between the Ascension and Pentecost, we're given a wonderful lection of readings, and the one that we had today from the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, which is often referred to as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. We have been listening to this beautiful prayer of our Lord for the church, for his disciples, and for all the generations that would follow. Today, I'd like to enter into that reading a little deeply with us in the time that we have to really reflect upon what we see also in St. Paul, who obviously understood clearly what our Lord Jesus was teaching in today's gospel passage. There are four things that Jesus is praying for today, and I'd like for us to really look at each one of them very briefly. So he speaks here about truth. He speaks about joy and perseverance, and he speaks about the call to holiness. So in the very opening part of the gospel today, we hear our Lord speak of this, that he speaks about, you know, remaining in the Father's love, keeping his name. So when we hear this, what does it mean? Well, we know that it speaks very specifically when Jesus reminds us in other passages of sacred text, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Abide in me, he says. So this keeping, abiding, very much like we hear in the Gospel of John when our Lord speaks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he reminds that apart from him, we can do nothing. It's a reminder that life is found only in him, that he is the source of life. He is the beginning and its end. He is also the fruit of life itself. He is that which we obtain if we remain true to him, if we stay on that narrow path of which our Lord speaks. And so this call to perseverance, as we've been praying in the novena to the Holy Spirit, I'm reminded of just a few days ago when we prayed and reflected on the very gift of fortitude, to remain true to the task the Lord has for us. And the temptation is to give way to the opportunities in front of us, and sometimes the conveniences, or maybe it's a little easier to not be as strong or stand firm or maybe not speak a truth. But what the Lord reminds us, as we hear in Paul, is do not forgo that which I've entrusted to you. Stay true to me. I will always be true to you. Remain in me, and the fruit of that reality will bear abundant life in you. And which also leads us to the wonderful understanding of joy. So joy comes from following God, not just in our thought, not just in a sense of saying, I love you, Lord. It's also in what we do. It's how we live out our life. It's how we live out the commandments. It's how we live out the gospel. And it's how we hear the two great commandments, love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And the second part, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Upon these two, the entire law of God is based. We hear our Lord Jesus remind us. And so it is upon these great commands of the Lord that this communion with him occurs, keeping his name, the oneness that we are, the unity we are to have in God. This is so beautiful because we are actually hearing Jesus pray. He's asking the Father. He's praying. He's, in a sense, in a way, we're eavesdropping into his prayer. We're listening. He's saying it loudly. He wants us to hear it, not just the disciples around him, his apostles, but we today. He wants us to hear this prayer. This is what he wants for us. And in the first reading, we can hear Paul, right? Paul is doing the same thing. He has spent 3 years with the elders, the presbyters in Ephesus. Now about 30 miles outside of the city in Miletus, he is now preparing to leave them. Very similar to our Lord Jesus. He's preparing to leave them. I'm going before you to prepare a place for you. Paul is now helping them to understand, I have done all that I have been asked to do. I have taught you. I have guided you. I have shaped your understanding. Now it is your task. Now let's relate that to us, my dear friends, because that's where it has to move. We can't be looking, maybe when we heard that reading, we might have been thinking, oh yes, those priests need to be faithful. We may have been thinking about our bishops, our shepherds. We may have been pondering in our mind, but did we ever point it back toward us? Because this word of God is not just for one segment of the church. It belongs to all of us. The call of our Lord, yes, to the shepherds, a task is entrusted to them, a responsibility, a duty, an obligation, absolutely. But also to us, the disciples of the Lord, the followers of the Lord. He wants us to remain one in him, to be unified in truth. I cannot help, you know, being involved very strongly in the pro-life movement on the global realities around our world, and I cannot help but think of St. John Paul II in his landmark encyclical Evangelium Vitae, when he speaks about the need that we are to be unified in an ethical effort, that the way to bring about the cultural change is to be united in truth, united in the truth about life, united in the truth about the dignity of marriage between one man and one woman, the dignity of the beauty of conjugal love and the openness to human life. Truth is what guides us. Truth is what shapes us. Truth is what liberates us. Truth is what unites us in God. For apart from him, we can do nothing. And our joy comes from preaching that truth. It comes from celebrating that truth, not being ashamed of that truth. And that is something for you and for me and all of those who are listening today in our audience, you know, is to recognize how important it is in this world to witness, to model the faith, to help people to see the beauty and wonder of God, to be able to understand what God teaches us, what God has given to us, and what indeed will bring people to true freedom, what will bring people true happiness. And doesn't our Lord speak of this? He says that there, where will the joy come from? Where will the happiness emerge from? Our world thinks, and we hear it at the very end of the gospel, right? That he speaks about the world. So let me point out 3 ways in which Scripture speaks of the world. The first is that the world itself, created by God, is good. You have, all you have to do is go back to Genesis and hear when our Lord declares that all that he has created, good. So what changes this goodness, if I may? Well, the goodness remains. But what happens is it becomes tainted by we who abuse, who are unfaithful to God, who sin and offend God. This is what mars our world around us, changes what we should be good and beautiful and should be always magnifying the greatness of God, is that it's us. So we got to start by looking at how Jesus approaches this in the world. So it starts in me. How am I living out my faith? How am I living out the gospel? How am I proclaiming that gospel in my work environment, in my home environment, when I'm out in recreation, no matter where I am? Just a little comma. You know, I travel because of the mission of Human Life International around the world. I've heard confessions on airplanes. I've heard confessions in airports. I've had people ask me questions on airplanes, sometimes maybe regretfully asking me a question because now they're stuck with me for 12 to 15 hours on that plane, and now they're going to get a good lecture, you know. And so, but there's always this opportunity to magnify the greatness of God like Our Lady, always an opportunity to express the goodness of God and to help people to understand and to do it joyfully, to always do it as an opportunity to look at every circumstance. And so with that, we have to look at how do we treat the world around us. The second one is that what's important is that things are passing. We all know this. All I have to do is look in the mirror, all right? This June, I'll be a priest 33 years. I'll be 59 years old come July. All I have to do is look in the mirror and know that I am not an 18-year-old man, right? Life is passing. This world, as beautiful as God has created it, and all the wonders that I see with my own eyes, it is passing. So do not put my trust in what moth and rust will inevitably destroy. The third part of the world is that it's important for us to realize that there are always going to be things that the evil one uses to in the world to try to tempt us to turn away from God. Even the beauty of the world, even the luxuries of the world, the conveniences of the world, the pleasures of the world. And so we have to really understand, as Jesus uses this, he's really teaching us to avoid these temptations of the world that try to distract, persuade, and blind us to the Creator who made all things good. And finally, my dear friends, what's so important for us is what happens when we leave this chapel today, when we walk out into the world to greet the beauty of the day in our work or maybe in our home life and all of our duties and responsibilities. How will we go out and hear the prayer of Paul, who's now preparing to leave? And I don't want to be morbid, but think about if this were the last day of our life, the last moment, how would we spend it, right? And maybe back up one moment. If we knew we only had 30 days, what would we do with those 30 days? I would venture to state we wouldn't squander them. I venture to state that we would maximize every day with the people we love, the people we care for. We would make amends. We would try to reconcile with people. We would try to do everything possible to make right what we knew that we had done wrong. And so in a way, we have to hear the invitation of the Lord similarly, that go out, live the life that is given, celebrate the wonders that God has bestowed, stay true to me, I will always be true to you. Be not afraid. Do not let your heart be troubled, he says. Do not be anxious about your life. Do not worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Stand with me and I who stand with you, who have given myself for you, who have consecrated myself for you. And that word consecration, my friends, is very important. And that is what I will close with. What does that word mean? It means to cut off. It means to separate myself, to pull away from that which is not of God. To consecrate myself is to be 101% focused on the Lord. To forego all things that are contrary to his will. To push away from sin. To push away from that which distracts me from God. To cut off. And it's important that in that cutting off, that it's done out of a great love, if you love me. So today as we go out, let's hear those words of our Lord. Let's look at the example of beloved Paul, who is praying with tears in his eyes. I love you. I have given myself for you. Now go and proclaim what I have given to you. We hear those words today. May those words take root in us, may they bear fruit in us, and may in always, in every manner, we magnify the greatness of God. Amen.